extremely grateful for the privilege of being even in the house of the Lord today among others who are part of the family of God and who love to praise him because he is worthy of all the praise, honor, and glory that can be given to him. The text today is from Genesis chapter 6. And it's already been read in the King James Version, but I want to read it from the New Living Translation, from which we'll be taking our thoughts and expressions after the reading of his word. Genesis chapter 6. The caption given by the writers of this text, is entitled, A World Gone Wrong. A world gone wrong. And it reads, the people began to multiply on the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with this, humans, for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. In those days, for some time after, giant Nephilims lived on the earth, for whenever the sons of God had intercourse with their women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth and saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man and the only blameless person living on earth at that time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, and I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out, and construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet high, and 45 feet wide. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower the middle and the upper. I'll stop reading right there. And I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth today and the meditation of my heart will first of all be pleasing and acceptable in your sight and a blessing to all who have ears to hear. God's grace in a godless age. All of us are aware, I'm sure, of the great much corruption that is in the world today. We're constantly reminded of the conditions that previously existed and the attitude and decisions God made. We live in times of danger all around us. Wickedness lived out unapologetically by those who are engaged boldly in the wickedness, lifestyles that are not appropriate for a gender that decides that they want to live their lives the way they please. Irrespective of God and irrespective of the church, and those who stand for that which is right. The text today began the final expression of the perversion of men. In other words, it couldn't get any worse than what it was in the days for which we are considering today. Followed by the final exhaustion of the patience of God, a decision was made by him. The description of the times and conditions are somewhat related to what this verse says. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, according to the New American Standard. And they took them wives as all they chose. And God saw the godless activity in their growing anarchy. I'll make reference to that in a moment. Last Sunday, we talked about the fact that God started a new race of believers. It started with a new man, a new plan, and a new book after a new birth. So there were some godly people now living on the face of the earth. But it's amazing. What's so amazing about this? These sons of God saw the daughters of men, how beautiful they were, and they decided to marry them. In other words, church folk, believers, they saw the beauty of the unbelievers. And rather than taking wives from those who were in the family of God, they decided to go outside the family of God and respond to that worldliness. Can you see that in our world today? Something about the modesty of godly women was not as impressive as those who were ungodly, who could do whatever they felt like they wanted to do. We are not supposed to be unequally yoked, those of us who are the family of God. But in too many instances, the same thing that happened. The sons of God see the daughters of men. The believers in God see those who are unbelievers, and I want to say unbehaviors, because they don't live their lives except for temptation, and in ways that have an appeal to even the family of God. Can you just imagine this? Walking away from the plan that God had for men and women to marry one another. Every time a man is to marry a woman of faith, that's how God has planned it. But instead of looking at the blessing that God gives to us for obeying the plan that he has made for us, our lust for someone who should be outside of the family of God are boldly received without apology. So the text goes on to say how that was. I'll say it one more time. The sons of God married the daughters of men. And God saw the godless activity in growing anarchy. So that's the first thing I want you to notice was God's discernment. God knew exactly what was going on. There's nothing that escapes the eyes of our God. There's not anything that escapes the knowledge of our God. When we decide to go contrary to how we are supposed to know, we may fool somebody, but we are never fooling God. We are told, as I already mentioned, not to be unequally yoked, a believer to an unbeliever. And I'm glad that God has some wonderful people that should not require us to go outside the family of God to begin a relationship or begin a family that will be in the relationship of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want you to notice following those words that I've already expressed was his discernment. God says, I know what's going on, and I know what I'm going to do about it. And I want you to understand right now that all of us are disturbed by the lawlessness, the ungodliness, the wickedness of our day, but God is not taken by surprise. And God is still in control and will and can do what's supposed to be at the right and appropriate time. I want to pause right here to say, I pray that we would begin to stop taking our cues from what we see on television. I would pray that this pornographic activity and engagement would be removed from those of us who are the family of God. When we talk about the sons of God seeing the daughters of men, that same kind of thing is happening right now. There are those who are church folk. And I happen to know one who was a godly leader, a ministry leader for many, many years in Eastern Kentucky. One that was highly regarded and highly respected by all who knew him. He had great honors and all like that, but he had to be removed from his position because of pornography. They discovered that he spent more time watching those pornographic things than he did the Word of God. And I know that he's not alone to that. There is such easy access to that which is tempting, such easy access, availability for that which is contrary to what God would have us to do and how he would have us to be. But the point that I'm making right now is God's discernment. The second thing that you notice in this text was his disappointment. His disappointment. God said, it grieved me that I even made man. A disappointment of God. And I tell you, whenever we move out from the plan that God has for us, the means that he expects us who are the children of God to live, I promise you, he does not just know what's happening. He's disappointed. I remember how my parents tried to raise us in the family. And I know how heartbroken my father and my mother were. Whenever we stepped outside of those rules and regulations and admonitions that they gave to us and moved in a way that disappointed them severely, and of course it resulted in action. But I don't know what hurt me the most, the consequences of my misbehavior, or how much I realized that it hurt them. They had a reputation within the church and within the community that they were godly people. And when they get a report of how we misbehaved and stepped outside, and I want to just say while I'm standing here, I stepped outside. And went contrary to what I had been taught. And people would see me sometime and realize that I'm out of order. And some saintly folk would say to me, "Now, you know, your parents didn't raise you like that. They weren't perfect in what they did, but they remembered the word of God, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." But that kind of departure breaks the heart of Almighty God. And I praise God for those who decide to be kingdom men. And live the kind of life, even though there will be temptation all around us, we're told to yield not to temptation. It's all around. It's hard to miss because yielding is sin, and each victory will help us another to win. Well, we have to fight manfully onward. Dog passion subdued. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. First of all, there is God's disappointment, discernment and disappointment, and then his decision. I will destroy mankind from the face of the earth. But I like this next part. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I praise God for his grace. Even though he discerns what we're doing, disappointed in our behavior, makes a decision that he ought to do the ultimate in bringing destruction to our lives, he still allows somebody to find grace in his eyes. One of my favorite passages is Titus chapter 2, from which we get the song, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound," that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Yes, I was. On the way in the wrong direction. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Only by the grace of Almighty God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Our text said he was the only godly person walking the face of the earth. I'm glad that there's somebody finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. That those who are changing their behavior because they find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we understand grace being the undeserved favor of Almighty God freely bestowed upon undeserving sinners because he is God and a God of grace and a God of mercy. I requested that song today, Your Grace and Mercy Brought Me Through. Through what? Through many dangers, toils, and snares have already come. Was grace of God that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Well, can you just imagine this? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder today how many of us have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When we talk about grace, we're talking about that which precludes precise definition. We can't really explain it. It actually defies finite comprehension. We can't really understand why God is gracious when we are rebellious in every way. Even the people of God decide that I'm going to go the wrong direction. I'm going to live part of my life according to the rest of the world. I'm not going to confine myself to church all the time. I'm not going to confine myself and limit myself to living according to this book that folk talk about and read about called the Bible. And so you wonder, why do you find grace? Why is God gracious in spite of the fact that we are rebellious in every sense of the word? Well, I'm glad that we do. All of us are familiar that wonderful song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I thank God that I'm found by him. And once was blind. I've done some stupid stuff because of blindness, spiritual blindness. Which is why I encourage everybody to get into the Word of God seriously. That's why I talk about Sunday school. Everybody ought to be engaged in trying to better understand the Word of God. That's why I talk about on Wednesday Bible study. Everybody ought to be in a study. We'll recognize the desires and the plan and purpose of God that God has for our lives. And when we decide to live accordingly, there will be a difference in our lives. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad that I recognize it's undeserved. None of us are good enough to find grace because we're so good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the grace of God is available to every person who will receive it. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I want to notice a couple of things. He was energized by God. Okay? Energized by God. First of all, energized by God, the energy came in verse 8. First of all, Noah was forgiven. Even though he was walking upright, how did he do that? Because he was forgiven. In other words, he was saved. Noah wasn't just dropped out of heaven perfectly, But he was saved in the midst of all that was happening all around him and everybody going in the wrong direction. Noah decided, I'm going to do it the way that God would have it done. Or if you're here today and you're influenced by society rather than by a Savior, if you have not come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, grace is available. Praise God. He was forgiven. And he had to be saved just like anybody else. Nobody comes to this earth already perfect. Nobody is born on this planet except the Lord Jesus Christ. Comes here perfect and leaves here perfect. He was forgiven. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah was faithful. The text says, and he walked with God. He was in step with God. He was moving in the direction of God rather than going in the opposite direction. He was forgiven, but he was faithful. He was, having been forgiven, he was faithful to carry out the assignment that God had for him. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. I really believe with all of my heart, if we are forgiven and have found favor with God, it should lead us to be faithful to whatever our assignment and our calling may be. I said earlier, I got up here after having the announcements read. I wanted to say personally, I wanted to stand here perfectly and say, Wednesday night, we need to recognize people that are faithful, have not tried to have a free ride from earth to heaven, but have decided that they're going to serve God with the gifts and the talents and the ability that God has given to us. God expects every saved person to be a serving person. I know I'm right about that. I don't have to have any amens. I got my own with me. I brought them. Well, God does not save us to sit around and criticize, complain. But God saves us to engage in this battle that all of us are engaged in as the family of God. This world is better than what it would be if there were not people who are faithful to God. As bad as it is, I tell you, we have made a difference as the family of God and as the children of God. Noah was faithful. I'm so glad that he was faithful. I'm moving on to conclusion. Let me tell you what he did. God told him, I'm going to cut the lifespan from those who have been reading about early on in last Sunday's message, where they live 800, 900. Even 969 years, I'm going to cut it to 120. God is an awesome God. I'm closing now, believe it or not. But God is an awesome God. Let me tell you what he was doing. He told Noah to build an ark. He was faithful. He built on that ark for 120 years. The lifespan of everybody that was going to be born. What does that mean? It means that God provided or made provision for every person that was born. Lord have mercy. 120 years span building the ark and proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has made provision for your safety and your security and your salvation. I'm glad that there are some faithful people in the family of God. There are some faithful people in St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights. Faithful that even though they mocked Noah, they made fun of him, but he kept on building. He was embarrassed and burdened and working hard, but he kept on building. Because he was faithful. And I just believe with all my heart that every person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ and how faithful he has been to all of us. I've already talked about that amazing grace. Through all kinds of dangers, toils and snares. I'm not the only one that have come through that kind of stuff. Dangers all around us. People are so wicked right now, they kill you and go eat breakfast. We live in that kind of world, but through many dangers, toils and snares. I've already made it through. And I recognize that it wasn't my smarts, wasn't my savvy. It was grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace is going to lead me home. I know that with certainty in my heart. Oh, I got to think about this. God does not want anybody to perish. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that anybody is seen in this Old Testament passage. I'm going to reduce life to 120 years, but I'm going to give them everyone, even from the one born at the end of that 120, he can get saved too. I'm glad today for many things. But most of all, I'm thankful for my salvation. It's not enough to be a church member. If there's one thing that you ought to know, you ought to know for certain, you ought to know for sure that when this earthly house or tabernacle dissolves, like the Apostle Paul, I have a building of God, a house not made by hand, eternal in the heavens. I don't know about you, but I recognize some glad morning. When this life is over, I'm going to fly away to a land where joy shall never end. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Noah was faithful. God gave him detailed dimensions, exactly how he wanted it done. And so he did not cut corners. You understand what I'm saying? God gave every detail on how he was making provision for those persons' salvation, and while they mocked, he was preaching and hammering. I know what I'm talking about right now. There have been people as long as I've been pastor, no matter how the message was preached, no matter how faithful some were, they were always there snickering and mocking, while others are laboring almost to the sweat of their brow. And I'm thank God for people that are faithful in this church who can take the heat. You know what I'm talking about? When you serve God faithfully, everybody's not going to be friendly. Some are going to talk negatively about you, but keep on keeping on. I like the song when I was growing up, they used to sing, "I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God." I praise God for diligent and dedicated workers who won't walk away just because somebody talks negatively. I've been called everything, including ugly. And I know that's crazy because I know better than that. Don't let anybody stop you from doing what God would have you to do, being who God has called you to be. And I'm going to close. I told you that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he was faithful, but also he was fruitful. The text tells us that he had three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He was fruitful. Well, you say, well, that's not much fruit. 120 years, and all he accomplished was what was accomplished in his own family, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let me remind you that when the flood ended, everybody was dead. Only Shem, Ham, and Japheth, brother and sister Noah, were in the ark. But guess what? Every human being after the flood has to trace back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I think that's pretty fruitful, right? Billions of people have been born on the face of this earth, but the fruit began with Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives. I want to tell you something. Sometimes when we are serving God, it kind of feels like and look like we aren't fruitful. But let's keep on doing what God has called us to do. And I promise you, fruit will be forthcoming. I'm so glad that I know that. There have been times in my ministry, it seemed like the harder I worked, the more I served, the less the response. I know I'm right about that. Some of you know what I'm talking about, but I tell you what, I said in my mind, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. He saved me, blessed me, and he keeps on blessing me right now. I know I'm right about that. And I praise him, give him honor, and give him glory. I'm about to sit down in a few minutes, but I thank God, amen, for the grace of God in a godless age. No matter how wicked our world becomes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Anybody that wants to be saved, here's what he says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I hope you're resting in Jesus, even in the midst of these troubled times that we're in. Every time you turn on the television, every time you pick up the newspaper, somebody else has lost their mind, seems like, and doing crazy stuff, destroying folk. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm glad about the faithfulness of Almighty God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you have not been born again, washed in the blood of the sacrifice lamb, the doors are open for you. The invitation is extended to you. And I know that he will do for you just what he has done for others. Not only will he save you, he will secure you and support you and bless you with blessing that cannot come from any other source by comparison. Would you stand together for our time of invitation? God speaks to you. Don't let somebody else determine your response. You are in need of prayer. We have prayers waiting for you. If you're in need of salvation, Jesus still saves to the uttermost. He calls upon us to draw near to him, and he'll draw nigh to us. The invitation is open. We invite you to come. Come on, sing that song. instruments continue playing, would you bow your heads with me? Our Father, we are thankful for the abundance of your grace. But we also thank you, Lord, for the sufficiency of your grace coupled with your mercy. Oh God, one day you are going to do something with this earth. You say heavens and the earth shall pass away. These are the words that come from the mouth of Jesus. But my word will stand forever. Father, if there are those, any ones or anyone that needs to respond to your word, the promise that you have made for eternal salvation only if we would just believe. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to do anything except believe what you've done. And my prayer is, Lord, that you will speak with clarity and conviction to whomever is under the sound of my voice that needs to respond. I pray, God, that the Spirit of God will move about in this congregation. And Lord, any person that needs to respond, please give them the boldness, the courage, and the will to do just whatever it is that you are asking and calling them to do. And of course, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue our song. Remain standing. We are ready to go home. Any last word from someone, anyone that we need to hear before we dismiss? Don't leave, Lillian. We're going to sing a closing song. The song is Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And an amen. That means that we continue praising him, not just in the sanctuary. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all.